Well, shall we pray together? Father God, we do thank you that we can meet together as your people, and we do ask that you help us to reflect on what it means to truly be your people and what it means to truly please you in our fasting and Lenten activities. Amen. Well, thank you for hosting us this evening. I do add grateful thanks, as Brenda's already said. I was thinking about how to speak this evening, and I came up with an idea. I hope you don't find it too flippant, but it might be helpful. St. Snogs. St. Snogs was a famous church located in the capital city. It was well established and had a respectable number of people attending each week. The people who attended the services were also respectable. It was a nice church full of nice people. They dressed smartly and were very polite to one another. There was even a review on a website called churchadvisor.com, and a visitor to the church had reported that the service was nicely conducted with nice music. The welcome was nice. The visitor had received a nice firm handshake from the nice minister. The service included a nice uplifting sermon, and the people seemed eager to know God's ways. Well, with Lent approaching, a number of people in the congregation agreed that they should fast once a week during Lent and spend extra time in prayer. The money saved on food would be donated to the appeal for a memorial for a well-loved previous minister. When this was announced in church, the idea was well received. It was such a nice thing to do. The focus on prayer during these times of fasting would be the decline in moral values going on in the country. All agreed this was a good thing to pray about. After all, the news on the television had been reporting that social unrest was a real issue. There had even been riots just a few miles away in the poorer area of the city. That place where unemployment was high and people wore scruffy clothes. The riots had been rightly condemned by the government. Acts of senseless violence were not right in a Christian country. But anyway, today was the start of Lent, Ash Wednesday. There was a special service, which included the imposition of ashes. Everybody knew that was a very powerful symbol of repentance and the acknowledgement of our mortality before the Lord. But as the congregation gathered, people welcomed their friends with some nice friendly chat. And the names are just random. "Good evening, Beryl. What a nice dress you are wearing." "Why, thank you, Justine. Yes, I bought it early today from Harrods. I just couldn't resist it. By the way, I do like your earrings." "Yes, I'm so pleased with them. They are a special present from my husband for Valentine's Day. Quite expensive, you know, but he does say I'm worth it." "Oh, how sweet." Beryl looked over at Justine's husband, Simon. "You spoil her, you know. But tell me, Simon, how are things at work? I know you've been having trouble with those awful workers in your company coming out on strike." "I think it's almost resolved," said Simon. "The workers will have to settle for just 0.5% pay rise this year. It's either that or they'll be on the dole, so they should think themselves lucky." "Oh good, I'm so pleased you've got it sorted out. You can now go ahead and book your holiday to the Maldives. But you know, you ought to do what my husband does and register your company in Ireland. It saves us a fortune in corporation tax." There was a moment of silence as the friends looked round the church. It was quite bare, as there were no flowers for Lent. That was as it should be, of course. Lent was a time of repentance and abstinence. Apart from the lack of flowers, the church still looked nice and tidy. Well, there were four jumpers with holes in them, stuffed into a corner, making it look messy. "Tell me, what are those old jumpers doing piled over there? Beryl asked Justine.
Oh,
that's the clothing collection for the refugees at Calais. It does look messy. But I suppose the refugees need them. I don't have any cheap old clothes to give at all, and of course I don't want to sacrifice any of my nice dresses or tops. Yes, I suppose it's a good cause, really. But I'm not happy with so many of these refugees trying to get into England. We can't afford to have them here.
I agree.
The streets just don't feel as safe as they used to, said Simon. When we come to church, we now park the Jag at the car park that has that security guard. I know it's more expensive and a bit further to walk, but I don't want it to get scratched. Not with all these homeless people sleeping rough on the streets these days.
Beryl responded,
I know. I had one ask me for spare change, claiming he was hungry. I told him I don't carry cash, seeing as we all use contactless payments so easily now. He said he wanted to buy some food, but I think he'd just spend it on drugs. Oh, by the way, look what my work gave me today as a reward for the project we've just completed. £1,000 bonus and this lovely box of chocolates. I don't know what to do with the chocolates now it's Lent. I guess they'll just have to wait until Easter.
Well, I suppose we'd better be silent now. The service is starting soon, and we ought to pray before it starts.
And so the Ash Wednesday service began at St. Snob's. A nice church, full of nice people. But that evening, the two readings were disturbing. The passage from Isaiah 58 started in verse 1 by saying that a voice should be raised loudly, as loud as a trumpet even, to declare to the people their sins. He probably means those rioters and homeless people who don't come to church, thought Beryl to herself. But then, in verse 2 onwards, it seemed that God was speaking to nice religious people, people who were churchgoers. People who seemed eager to know the ways of God and who prayed to him. People who fasted even. It seemed rather odd that God would call such nice church-going people sinners. The reading became even more uncomfortable halfway through verse 3. Yet on the day of fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Simon shifted uncomfortably. I wonder, is 0.5% really that fair to my employees? We can actually afford to pay them more, especially if we skip our trip to the Maldives this year. I mean, we have been there 3 times before. And then verse 5. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only for a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed? And for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him? And not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Perhaps I should carry some spare pound coins to give to the homeless, thought Beryl. Actually, I've got these chocolates here. I don't really need them. I could give them to one of the homeless on my way back to the car. Meanwhile, Justine was thinking, I suppose I really ought to give away some of my outfits to the refugees. After all, I do have over 15, and their need is so much greater. I suppose that is what Jesus would have me do. The reading continued. A few minutes later, the minister stood up to preach and to explain the significance of the ashing. And he said, let's just remember, it is not the outward sign of ashing that counts. It is only a symbol that helps us to remember that we are mortal, and that because of our sin, which we all have, we are doomed to death.
The only way out is to daily turn to Christ in repentance and trust the gospel. And fasting is good. But true fasting is to do the will of God in the power of the Spirit. It's where the heart is, and how you live out your faith in practice that counts. Particularly how you look after the less fortunate. I'll say my apologies because St. Snobs is a terrible caricature. But I thought it might just be a different way of making the point this evening. In the West, our lives have become so materialistic and so busy that we can be blind to the needs all around us. But as we bring ourselves before God this evening, let's not be like the people described in Isaiah 58, or like those at St. Snobs. They were very keen on the outward trappings of religion. But God wants our hearts to be changed. That's true fasting. He wants us to be full of compassion and to work for justice for the downtrodden. So let's ask God what we can do for him in response to his great love for us. We're going to be confessing and repenting of our self-centeredness and reluctance to let go of what we have that could help others. Let's also pray for compassion and justice in this land. But as we do so, maybe we need to ask God how we can play a part in doing this, his will. But the passage was very encouraging as we went on, verses 9 to 11. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. So let's pause for a moment and think, is there somebody less fortunate than myself who I could help this week? Somebody I work with, maybe. Or perhaps somebody further away, like the homeless or the refugees. Maybe ask ourselves, am I being truthful in my tax affairs? Am I hoarding when I could be giving? Perhaps as you receive the ashing, you could ask God to show just one act of compassion that you could do in the coming days. Amen.